Benga Ajilore is an associate professor of economics at the University of Toledo, also a lifelong Clippers fan, and he's been looking into the economic consequences of this whole story. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think of this punishment?
This is actually the strongest punishment that they could have given, and it was a little bit of a surprise because you don't usually see this a lot of times in the sports leagues that really coming down hard on owners. But with the new commissioner, he came in a couple months ago, he really wanted to put his foot down, and so this was the strongest that he basically could have done. And he did it and did it quickly, too.
Right, right. Well, I mean, quickly, though, the NBA has known about his views for many, many years and has done nothing. So what did he say today about that?
He actually avoided that question. Two people had brought it up, and he was saying that basically with the information, once they had evidence about it, they acted on it in this case. He mentioned the housing discrimination, that the case was settled, and then the employment discrimination with Elgin Baylor, that Elgin Baylor lost that case, so they couldn't do anything about that. But he basically sidestepped.
Former general manager of the Clippers.
Yeah, he basically sidestepped the question. I think a lot of it is that he didn't want to throw David Stern under the bus, their previous commissioner.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk about this idea of a forced sale, and three-quarters of the owners have to agree to that. Tell me about that system. How would it work?
Basically, probably sometime in the next couple of weeks that they would have the owners get together. He said they'd have sort of an executive committee to basically talk about, okay, let's put this up to a vote. And 24 of the owners, if they say that he should sell, Donald Stern is going to have to sell. Now, the question is how they actually would go about the sale. We're not sure about how that works.
Right. And let's hear from Adam Silver about that.
I didn't poll the owners. I spoke to several owners, and I have their full support.
Okay, so I guess he'll have to go around and ask them, right, if they indeed want to force the sale one by one?
Well, I think actually they actually meet together as a group and will have a vote.
Mm-hmm.
So far, looking at Twitter and looking at some of the statements that some of the owners have made, there's a lot of people in support of actually having Sterling sell.
There is support for that.
Yeah, so far, Paul Allen, I know Mark Cuban, and a couple of the other owners have actually just recently said that they support the commissioner's decision and will put it up to a vote.
But what does that say about the owners' rights? I mean, are owners feeling a little weird about that, thinking, well, I could be next if someone doesn't like what I say?
Mark Cuban brought that up the other day, and a lot of it is a slippery slope because this was actually not, you know, a court case or some sort of outside. This was actually private tapes that were recorded that, you know, I know in the state of California that it would be illegal for it to record. And if that can force someone out, then that brings up a lot of concerns because you think about, you know, the whole debate about the NSA and wiretapping and all those spy things. That's the kind of stuff that people have been complaining about and talking about for the last year and a half. And so now we have a situation, even though it's with Donald Sterling, it's a similar kind of situation that was something Mark Cuban brought up.
Right. So, and I guess he would fight it. We don't know yet. He hasn't said anything about this.
We haven't heard anything from Donald Sterling yet.
Okay. What about the players? There was a question at the news conference today about whether or not they could leave. They didn't want to play for the Clippers anymore. And here's what Silver said.
If a player in the future doesn't want to play for the Los Angeles Clippers and he's under contract, we'll deal with that when it happens. But that's not my sense of where we are right now.
So what would it take to just break the contract, leave the team, and say, I don't want to work here anymore?
That would actually probably have to go through the players' union
mm-hmm.
because everything is collectively bargained. And that would bring up a lot of difficult issues when it comes to breaking the contract. And I think a lot of what would happen before that stage, there's going to be a lot of work behind the scenes. But that's probably a question that won't come up until we figure out what Sterling's next move is going to be. Because even if he does, let's say the owners decide to force him out and force him to sell, if he litigates that, he is actually going to have a difficult time in terms of actually fighting that. Lester Munson from ESPN had talked about in the legal case, because it's a league and part of the league bylaws, you can't sue about bylaws that the owners agreed to. So it's one of those things where it may not, this may not be a case that comes up because Sterling is not going to be able to, if he's forced to sell, he's not going to be able to win that battle.
Can the union do anything? Can the players say, you know, I don't want to work in this hostile work environment or something like that?
The union can't do anything. The union can only make suggestions. And there was a recent conference that Kevin Johnson, Mayor Kevin Johnson and Mayor Eric Garcetti had, where talking about how the union was made a part of this decision, that they had talked to the commissioner, and that, but at most, the only thing he could do is make suggestions and ask to be a part of the process.
How much do you think the Clippers are worth?
So the Dodgers went for $2 billion about 2 years ago, and the Clippers, with their, I mean, they're in the playoffs right now. They have marketable stars in Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. They're a winning team. They're in a great market. Some people have suggested that if they were to sell, they would get at least $1 billion. Now, one of the other issues is that they're not the preeminent team in that market because you still compete with the Lakers. And then within the Staples Centers, you compete with the LA Kings, the hockey team. But they probably could easily get $1 billion. The Milwaukee Bucks, a downtrodden franchise, just sold for $550 billion. And so you have a team like that worth $550 billion. Clippers are at least $1 billion, probably more.
Is the Clippers, are they worth more now than they were on Friday or less?
That's a good question. I would say because this would be a forced sale, they're probably worth less. Now, let's say Donald Sterling, a month ago, Donald Sterling says, you know what, I'm old, I want to sell the team. He could have probably pushed for $1.5 billion. But because this is a forced sale, probably looking at around $1 billion. So they would probably be worth less because of this incident.
Still, $1 billion, not chump change. And does that all go to Mr. Sterling?
That would go to Mr. Sterling.
So, and, yeah.
But that's one of the problems with leagues and issues with leagues and sports in general is that there's only so much that you can do. A lot of people are complaining about that he's only being fined $2.5 million. He's being fined $2.5 million because that's the max. If $5 million was the max, he would have been fined $5 million. But the key here, and one of the things I wrote in my piece in the Washington Post blog, was that he's not going to voluntarily sell because he loves being an owner. And in sports is such a different industry than normal firms that people buy teams because they like what I call psychic benefits of owning a team, being courtside, being in the locker rooms, being part of this process.
But he doesn't get any of that now because he's
no, banned. And that's the important thing about Adam Silver's, the commissioner's ban, is that that's the one thing that could push for a voluntary sale because everything, his whole identity for the last 30 years has been being the Clippers owner, being able to wine and dine people, have luxury boxes, being in a Staples Center, before they were in a sports arena, which wasn't that great of an arena. Now they're in the Staples Center. That whole area is built up, and he's been a part of that, and now that's taken away from him, and that might get him to sell the team voluntarily. That might avoid a protracted legal fight.
So you've been a lifelong Clipper fan. What is this doing to you as a fan?
It's been tough.
Yeah.
And the tough part is that when you're a fan of the Clippers, knowing who Donald Sterling is, it's almost, you understand, this has been tough. He's not a good fan. He's not a good owner. But you know what? I like the team. I support the team. And it's just something that you know. And then what's been weird is that you have all this uproar, all this argument about, this guy's terrible. Why is he not doing, why is he racist? And then people wanting to protest. And the question comes up is, well, he's been like this forever. Where has this outrage been? The court case that was settled, the housing discrimination, was settled in 2009, but the case came up in 2003. We heard about all these things, and there was no uproar. Now, part of the reason why there was no uproar is because the Clippers sucked and no one cared.
Mm-hmm.
But recently they become popular. You see Blake Griffin on Subway and Kia ads, Chris Paul and State Farm ads. Now you have, I don't want to say bandwagon fans, but, people are fans now of the team. And now they come up, and then there's outrage. And part of it is that there's should have been outraged before.
Yeah. Benga Adjelore, Associate Professor of Economics at the University of Toledo. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.